Father, I truly do thank you for what you just spoke to your people. And God, just tell me that he's just trying to encourage you this morning. He wants you to understand that he is your all in all. He needs you to know that the enemy is trying to take you out. And he doesn't care what he uses to do that. He said, but my children, I say unto you this day that I am that I am. And that I truly do love you and I truly do care about every fiber of your being. It looks to you like I am doing nothing, but I am on the move continually in your life, bringing to pass every promise that I have given you. Take your eyes off of the things of this world and place your eyes back upon me. Be steadfast in all that I've called you forth to do. And I promise you, the glory will follow you all the days of your life. And you will bring in the harvest. And you will dance and rejoice before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father, I thank you for your word of encouragement. I thank that you are looking down upon this little church this day and that you see each and every person that came in. And Father God, you're going to do a perfect work within their lives. And Father, I thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You know, please look up today because your redemption does draweth nigh. Please keep your hand in the hand of the Father because he does love you. He does lead, guide, and direct you. And he's not going to drop you. I'm just hearing God say, we are in a very precarious time right now. It's up to you and I whether we stay in the joy of the Lord or we fall back into the valley of despair. So that's telling me we have a fight on our hands. And that's telling me that it's up to us who wins this battle. All right. God wants to talk about the court of last appeals. God said, my children, in all things you must adhere to what my word speaks. My word was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and every word is yes and amen. You find that in 2 Corinthians 1:20. You need to quit turning to man for the answers to your everyday dilemmas. My word has a way of escape in all given situations. Now, it is not a question of what I think or of what anyone else thinks. It is what thus saith the Scriptures. It is not a matter of what any church or creed teaches. It is what teaches the Bible. God has spoken in the end, and that ends the matter. In Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever. Thy word is settled where? In heaven, not on earth, but in heaven. Therefore, it is for me to bow to his authority, to submit to his word, to cease all quibbling and cry as Samuel did in 1 Samuel 3:10. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Because the Bible is God's word, it is a court of appeals in all things. Jesus took this position when he was tempted of the devil. In Matthew, in other words, he said what the word said. In Matthew 4, 1 through 11, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, who led Jesus up into the Spirit? The Holy Spirit. To do what? To be tempted by the devil. Do you think maybe sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us to some place to be tempted by the devil? And I really know that in those situations, the true you comes out. Verse 2 says, and when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took Jesus up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So who's quoting scripture now? Satan is, right? In verse 7, Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus already owned all those things, didn't he? Then Jesus said to the devil, away with you, O Satan, for it is written. You need to learn that phrase, for it is written. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left Jesus, and behold, angels came to minister to Jesus. When did the devil leave Jesus? After he found out there was no way he could coerce Jesus into doing anything he asked him to do. Then he left. He knew that he wasn't going to get anywhere with Jesus. Why are you always tempted? Why can the devil always bring back your past and make you live your past? Because you have not convinced the devil that he has lost. Right? I used to scream, it is written, when the devil used to come and attack me on all sides. And I would tell him, God's word says you can't kill me. Right? And nobody told the devil in Job, you can do anything to him but kill him. So anytime I would get really sick, I would say, but you can't kill me. The word says so in Job. So you have to know the scriptures and then quote them back to the enemy. And when you do, he leaves. When he knows that you have the power and authority, then the enemy's going to leave because he can't get to you. All right. Why did the devil leave Jesus and why did the angels come and minister to him? Because he stood on the written word. He kept saying, it is written. All right, so when the devil comes to tempt you into sin, just say, it is written. You shall serve the Lord thy God and God only. I'm not going to serve your little idols, devil. I'm not going to go out there and sin because my word tells me not to do that. My word also tells me that God makes a way of escape in every temptation. And Jesus' teaching about the rich man and Lazarus, Abraham insisted in verse 31, but he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Now let's read that whole scripture. Luke 16:27. Then the rich man said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. The man was already in hell, and he was asking God to send somebody to his brothers to tell them what their brother's going through. But Abraham said to him, Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. By saying this, Abraham was signifying that the authority of the written word is of greater weight and worth than the testimony and appeal of miracles. A lot of people say, well, God, if you show me a miracle, I'll do what you ask me to do. No, you won't. No, you won't. You'll just keep on doing what you're doing. Peter took the same position when justifying speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 and 13 through 18. And verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." So he's quoting scripture here now. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." And then God said, why are you arguing among yourselves? Why don't you go to the court of last appeals and use my word to defeat the enemy? My word does not lie. I have made a way of escape from every temptation." Let's just stop there. Now, the reason why I brought up the fact about speaking in tongues is, do you know how many people don't believe in speaking in tongues? I mean, churches and pastors don't believe in speaking in tongues. They say it's of the devil. Now, what you need to do, if you're going to talk to them, you need to take the scripture to them and show them what the scripture says. Don't just stand and argue with them. Pull out your Bible, your tablet, or whatever you're going to use, and say, all right, let's see what the scriptures say. Let's go to the court of last appeals, and let's see what God says about this situation. Not man, but what God says about it. And in 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptations will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." You know, when people say, "I have to have a drug, I have to have another drink, I have to have sex," no, you don't. Because the court of last appeals, God's word says, God has made a way of escape from all those things. You just have to get down. You know, the devil's telling you need another drink. The devil's telling you need to have sex. You know, pornography, whatever you want to call it. But if you go to the word and say, "No, I don't have to have that, devil. You're trying to implant that in my mind and in my will and in my emotions. But God's word says he's made a way to temptation, so I don't need to do what you're telling me to do." People say, "Well, I keep getting drawn back into my past." Well, that's because you allow the devil to draw you back there. You don't have to go back there. You don't, because God's made a way of escape. All you need to do is get the word out and quote it to the devil and just thank God he's made a way of escape. And then just resist the devil and he will flee. And God says, "Draw upon the truths of my word and you will never fail. Do as my son Jesus did and draw upon the word. When temptations come, tell the enemy it is written that you should be holy as I am holy." Come on. "I'll never be a good mother." That isn't what the word of God says. You know, I just can't be a good wife. The word of God doesn't say that. Do you see what God's saying here? You need to start drawing on his word instead of drawing on what men or women say. This is why I encourage you to read the word yourself so that you know what the word of God says and don't rely on a pastor, evangelist, or teacher, whatever, to tell you what the word says. I was reading something yesterday, and the man had totally twisted the scripture. And Adrian had to be there helping me with something. And I said, "Listen to this." And so we read it. And then we looked at it again. And this man had totally twisted that whole thing. Took it totally out of context. But do you know how many people who don't read the word for themselves will believe that person? Mary Steele, "When you teach my people, you teach them the truth and only the truth, saith the Father. And the truth will set your people free." Are you ready for a congregation of 1,000, 2,000, 1,000,000? That's what I want to give to you. But you must teach them the truth of my word. In 1 Peter 1:16, it says, "You should be holy, for I am holy." This command from God to be holy as I am holy is no small thing. We are called to be like God himself, to pursue holiness with all of our hearts. Somebody else can't make you be holy. That's something you have to pursue. Somebody else can't make you walk out of your past. That's something you have to do. Somebody else can't make you let go of rejection. That's something you have to do. And see, this is why I know that God had me, this was supposed to be, I had this for the evening service, this song service, but all this is telling you how much God loves you and what you have, and you don't have to walk with the enemy because you have a true Father who really loves you. And if you're, I'm hearing this again, so I'm going to say it, if you're looking for a person to meet your needs will never be met. All right? God meets our needs, not man or woman or a friend. God said the court of last appeals, which is my word, spoken to any situation will cause the situation to line up with my word. How about that? God said the court of last appeals, which is my word, spoken to any situation will cause the situation to line up with my word. Somebody's stealing your happiness. God's word isn't trying to steal your happiness. God's word speaks constant joy into you. And God's word doesn't say the enemy can steal your happiness either. God's word says that you allow the enemy to steal it. He just can't come and willy-nilly steal your happiness and your joy. Right? And what does God's word say? The joy of the Lord is my strength. So when your joy is gone, you know the enemy's taking it. He's trying to take your strength out of you. And you, then when he does that, then you cannot do all things in Christ Jesus because you've already bowed your knees and allowed him to steal your strength, your joy. Paul stated in Romans 4:3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Paul asked this question to people, what does the scripture say? The scripture says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And God said if the scripture gave a clear utterance on the subject under discussion, that ended the matter. If the scripture gave a clear utterance on the subject under discussion, that ended the matter. Against their testimony, there was no appeal. We need to start putting God's word into everything we say. This is why, you know, God says study his word to show yourself approved. Because if you study his word, then you're going to be memorizing that word. One time, I can't memorize. So I said, God, I can't memorize. He said, but if you read it, it's in there. And when I need it, I pull it out. So I'm not saying go memorize your Bible. I'm not. I'm saying read your word. And it's inside of you. And then God pulls it out and acts on it. Where am I at? Leviticus. What did we do? Skip a page or am I somewhere else where I shouldn't be? All right. When discussing homosexuality, we should go to the court of last appeals, which is God's word. Leviticus 18, verse 1 through 5. God spoke to Moses, speak to the people of Israel. Tell them I am God, your God. Don't live like the people of Egypt, where you used to live, and don't live like the people of Canaan, where I'm bringing you. Don't do what they do. See that? Obey my laws and live by my decrees. I am your God. Keep my decrees and laws. The person who obeys them lives by them. I am God. Don't give any of your children to be burned in sacrifice to the god of Molech, an act of sheer blasphemy of your God. I am God. Don't have sex with a man as one does with a woman that is abhorrent. Don't have sex with an animal and violate yourself by it. A woman must not have sex with an animal that is perverse. Don't pollute yourself in any of these ways. This is how the nations became polluted. The ones that I'm going to drive out of the land before you. So people have a question, get the word out, read the words, tell them what God says about it. I don't care what man has to say. Tell them what God says about it. Don't argue with anyone about whether deliverance is of God. Go to the Lord, Word. Point out what Jesus did about demonic possession. And we all know, well, it's really changing right now, but we all know that churches, if you did deliverance, they tell people not to go to you because you yourself are the devil. But now I'm reading where this new generation that's rising up, they want to do deliverance. They're excited about deliverance, and that's the first thing they start when they start a ministry is deliverance. In Mark 5, verse 1, says, Jesus and his followers went across the lake to the area where the people lived. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man came to him from the caves where the dead are buried. This man had an evil spirit living inside him. He lived in their burial caves. No one could keep him tied up, even with chains. Many times people had put chains on his hands and feet, but he broke the chains. No one was strong enough to control him. Day and night he stayed around their burial caves and on the hills. He would scream and cut himself with rocks. While Jesus was still far away, the man saw him. He ran to Jesus and bowed down before him. And as Jesus was saying, "You evil spirit, come out of this man," the man shouted, what did Jesus say? He spoke to the spirit and told the spirit to leave. See, they're saying you shouldn't do this kind of stuff. Jesus did it. The man shouted loudly, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you in God's name not to punish me." Then Jesus asked the man, "What is your name?" Jesus spoke to the spirit again. The man answered, "My name is Legion because there are many spirits inside me." The spirits inside the man begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of that area. A large herd of pigs was eating on a hill near there. The evil spirits begged Jesus. Now, the evil spirits were speaking to Jesus. "Send us to the pigs. Let us go into them." See, these evil spirits knew they had to leave, but they just didn't want to be sent back to the abyss. They wanted to go into another vessel. So Jesus allowed them to do this. The evil spirits, see, Jesus allowed them. If we're doing deliverance, are we doing it under the anointing of Jesus? Or are we doing it in our own flesh? If we're doing it under the anointing of Jesus, we can do the very same thing that Jesus did here. The evil spirits left the man and went into the pigs. Then the herd of pigs ran down the hill and into the lake. They were all drowned there. There were about 2,000 pigs in that herd. Now, those spirits came out of that man. 2,000 demons out of that man. And this thing that Christians can't have demons is a big farce. That's what I see in the house of God. People with demons. Keeping them bound. The men who had the work of caring for the pigs ran away. They ran to the town and to the farms and told everyone what happened. The people went out to see. They came to Jesus and they saw the man who had the many evil spirits. He was sitting down and was wearing clothes. He was in his right mind again. And when they saw this, they were afraid. Those who had seen what Jesus did told the others what happened to the man who had the demons living in him, and they also told about the pigs. Then the people began to beg Jesus to leave their area. Now I'm reading these scriptures about deliverance because right now this is where it's at. A lot of churches are saying, you shouldn't do deliverance, but these new people coming up are saying, we are going to do deliverance. And I'm talking to the old people that are here, in the churches right now. You need to start doing deliverance. And you need to quit telling people there is no such thing as spirits living inside of you. The Word of God is full of it. And this is why you see everybody's all messed up, is because we're not using the Word to prove what we're saying. Or we're listening to people who are twisting the Word to say something that they want people to think it's saying. You see this? Now, if you stop and think about it, that man had 2,000 demons in him. And you think, well, where am I at in all this mix? That's how I think, Okay, so here I have a vessel and I have 2,000 demons living inside here. What's going on with me? Where am I at? Am I just this flesh and blood walking around with these demons using my body to do what they want to do? in messing me up in the process. Well, if that's the case, then I don't want those demons in me. I want those demons out of me. And the only way I can do that is by going through deliverance. And it's not, the crime is not going through the deliverance. The crime is keeping the demons in you when you know you have them. That's the crime, not getting them taken out. And too many people have too much pride and won't admit that they have problems. And they have demons controlling them. And therefore they stay bound. All right, let's read Luke 11, 14. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when a demon had gone, this is Jesus doing this. So it was when a demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. I used that in my own house the other day because I said, God said this house is divided, and his word tells me when a house is divided, it falls, and it can't be blessed. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Church, we need to start using God's word. The reason why we don't is because you don't read the word. You don't have the word in your spirit. So you're being your tablets doing dumb things with Google and Facebook and whatever else it is. You need to be on your tablets studying the word of God. And see what God has. You see what it's telling you about the situations in your life. Luke 13, verse 10 says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues. This is Jesus again. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So why can't we lay hands on people and watch them be recovered? Jesus did it. He laid hands on people, and they were healed. So what's wrong with us doing that? And they're coming against that too, you know. But the Court of Last Appeals, which is God's word, says we can do that. And he even did it on a Sabbath. So when we're in here, we have the altar call. People are sick. We can lay hands on them, and they shall recover according to God. See, that's scripture. And nobody can say anything about it because Jesus did the same thing. Raising the dead is for today. Jesus told his disciples to raise the dead. The Bible records that Elijah, Peter, and Paul raised the dead as well as Jesus Christ. So people say, well, you can't go, raising the dead is not of God. Well, right here in your word, Luke 7, 11 through 17, John 11, 1 through 44, Acts 9, 36 through 41, Acts 20, 9 through 10. But then there's also a bunch of it in the Old Testament. We can raise the dead. And God has said in this dispensation of time we're in right now, with the glory, when it comes to its fullness, we are going to raise the dead. Now, when that starts, you could just say, well, the word of God did, that Jesus did it in a word, and it is for today, and so we're allowed to raise the dead. Amen. Some churches say the Holy Spirit is not real. In John 14, 15 through 17, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So I would say any church that says the Holy Spirit isn't real is really not saved even. Because it's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So if you're not saved, you can't receive the truth that there is a Holy Spirit. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So here we have 2,000 demons in there, the Holy Spirit in there, and there's you and I carrying all this around. And, you know, it's up to us who wins the tug of war, right? Either we're going to get rid of our demons, all we have in there is the Holy Spirit. And if we're full of the Holy Spirit, then every place we go, miracles happen. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And you know that when I was first born again, I'm like everybody, wanted to go away to Bible school, but God said, no, I don't want man's doctrine in you. My Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And so right here it is in the scripture. And if you know this, when God gives me a prophetic teaching, it's always the same thing in the scripture, word for word. He quotes it word for word. I don't quote that. After I get it all typed up, then I go back and get the scripture to cover what he said. But it's always the word that he's teaching. So what should we be teaching? The word. Not what some man says or some woman says, but we're supposed to be teaching the word of God. When we was having all the meetings in here years ago, there was a older man in here, and he was just sitting there, all of a sudden he got up and started preaching. I mean, he was really good. And he was pacing back and forth just to preach. You know, he wasn't on the agenda, but, you know, he was on the agenda. And he was running back and forth just preaching. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, he was preaching, I'll say Philippians chapter 10, you know. But he actually preached this whole chapter. And it was word for word. I listened to it later. But the Spirit of God got on him and jumped him up, and God wanted to speak that. He taught that scripture that night. God is awesome if we just let him be God. And if we just allow our spirits to yield to the Holy Spirit, I mean, we can do all things through God. It says so. All right, if the defendant in a criminal case or either party in a civil case is dissatisfied with the verdict of the trial court, he or she can ask for an appeal. An appeal is a petition for the case to be heard by a new court. I was going to call and ask Brother Aaron how that went, but I didn't because I wanted this to be God. But see, if you're not satisfied with what's happening in your life, get into the Word of God and take it to God and let God be your judge. Let God be the one that settles your case for you. And then God says, I am calling all my children to come to the court of last appeals and state your case. I just said that, but that's what he just said. Why do we go to men or women? Pastor, can I have 2 hours of your time? When really you could go to the Word and see what the Word says about it, and then that's going to be the truth. And that's why whenever you're ministering to somebody, you should always immediately get into the Spirit. And when they start talking, the only thing you say back is what God is speaking to you. You don't tell them anything that you feel, because that is not helping them. They need the Word to set them free. So what are you going to do from this day forth? Are you going to draw on God's Word? Don't argue with people. Are you going to draw on God's Word, or are you going to tell them, well, this is what the Word of God says, and this is what I stand on? Now, I do know that if you aren't careful, you can read different versions of the Bible that twist it, and you have to be, and leave things out. I found that out. And so you really have to be careful that you're hearing the true Word. And I know that this is a fact, and they do say it, that the original way it was written, by all the different translations, some things have been left out. Something they didn't understand the words, and so the Word was changed and makes the whole thing different. So research things. I just don't read the Bible and say, oh, wow, look at that. I research it just like I was doing with Adriana to really find out, what is this really saying to me? And is it what they're saying the truth? And, you know, and the Holy Spirit will let you know whether it's the truth or not. But God really, he's the reason why he gave this is because he's saying that we are not using the Word enough in our daily lives. And he said he wants to us to go back to the truth, because he says he's going to have us teach the truth. And if we don't know the word, we can't teach the truth, can we? We'll just be teaching. You'll say, well, Pastor Barbara said, no, it doesn't. No, Jesus Christ said, you know, that's what you should be saying. And you know what? Take what I tell to teach you, and you know, and go back and research it. Just don't take my word for it. And I pray every day, God, don't ever let me say anything the Holy Spirit doesn't say. Let everything that comes out of my mouth be yes and amen. And this is how you should be too. You know why you're messed up? You just take the word of somebody else and you don't research it for yourself. You don't ask God, God, is this really true? Is this really you? And so you take what man says to you and it messes your life up. This is why I always tell prophets, you make sure that what you're saying is definitely coming from the throne of grace. Amen? Come on. And so this is why you have to know that you know that you know that you are a prophet. And just not, you know, from God, and just not a man-made prophet. Because if you're a true prophet of God, you won't do anything but what the Holy Spirit tells you to say and do. This is what happens. The Holy Spirit won't let you speak. How many have been in that shoes? You know, somebody's asked you something, you want to answer them, and the Holy Spirit won't let you say a word. Because, why? Because the Holy Spirit has nothing to say. And that person has heard the truth over and over again, and they're still asking the same question. So he just shuts up. He doesn't talk forever about the same thing. All right? And God said, if this church is going to prevail and overcome in all areas, we have to start learning his word and only speak his word. And really, truly, if you do teachings or anything and you get into word, your teaching's right there already written out for you. If you notice, I've been doing a lot of scriptures lately in the bulletin. It's what God wants to say is right there. It's his word. It's not mine. And when we get his word, we know it's true. And we can accept it. You know, one time somebody said to me, are you the only one that hears God's voice? And I said, no. And so I didn't, you know, I backed off from what I had said. And it messed somebody's life up. I'm never going to do that again. I'm not the only one that hears God's voice, but I know I hear God's voice. Are you understanding this? And I know that I don't try to twist anything, you know, to get my way. I don't need my way. We need God's way. And I'm really admonishing each one of you in here today that if you're going to tell, you know, say, thus saith the Lord, you make sure it's thus saith the Lord. It's just not somewhere you're trying to, you manipulate people through prophecy. You all know that, don't you? You know, if you're really not of God, you what you do is manipulate people to do what you want them to do. And you put thus saith the Lord on it. Don't do that. Don't ever do that. It destroys people's lives. And I'm going to tell you another thing, is God will prophesy something to you. But if you aren't yielding to God and doing what he's telling you to do, that prophecy goes by the wayside. It'll never come to pass. You have to be lining yourself up with the word of God. You have to be changing with that word so that God can bring it to pass. Remember the king? You know, the God sent a prophet into him and told him he was going to die, get his house in order, he was going to die. But before he even got out into the courtroom, God said, go back and tell him now he's going to live 15 more years. He didn't prophesy wrong. The man asked God, let me live longer. So then God sent the same prophet back to him and says, now you're going to get 15 more years of misery. Amen. So, you know, if that happens, don't get excited. As long as you know that you're truly only speaking what the Word of God says, that person did something to change the prophecy. You did not. Do you know, if you're a true prophet, you will question yourself till you're blue in the face about that, because you don't want to mess anybody's life up. Sometimes I'll say, this is what I heard the Lord say. Then I'll say, now don't do it because you heard me say the Lord said it. I said, you make sure that you know that you know that you know that God is telling you to do this. You know, prophets can make or break a person. And God's going to hold you accountable if you start hurting people. And then you're going to be out there all by yourself. I knew people like this. You're going to be out there all by yourself prophesying out of your flesh. Let's not do that. Let's stay in the Word of God. Let's know what the Word of God has to say. And then only say the truth, which is the Word of God. And God called it the Court of Last Appeals. How do you start this, and then we'll end here. When he started, am I going to write a book? I didn't write a book. He said, my children, all things you must adhere to what my word speaks, period. My word was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and every word is yes and amen. You need to quit turning to man for the answers to your everyday dilemmas. My word has a way of escape in all given situations. This is where God is at right now. He wants you to quit turning to man for an answer. And if you turn to God for the answer and he doesn't give you the answer, well, then you don't need the answer at that point. So don't get all excited because he doesn't answer you, because you're not ready to receive the answer. Or it's not his timing. But you will get your answer eventually. Remember Daniel, always rely on Daniel. You know, he prayed and it was 21 days later and the enemy was holding up that answer. So there's all different ways that you're not getting your answer immediately. But I really think I'm hearing God say too many of you are trying to manipulate him to give you the answer that you want to hear, not the true answer that God has for you. All right. So what God says here, the very last, and I don't know why, but Mary, still, God's really zoning in on you today. You're getting ready to have an encounter with God that's going to change your entire life. And you have been sort of afraid of what people will say, and you've been holding back. But God said, once you have this encounter, you're not going to hold back anything, that you're going to go full force, and you're going to watch lives change. So the last thing God said, I'm calling all my children to come to the Court of Last Appeals and state your case. All right. Whether you want to believe this or not, the Bible really is your handbook on how to live your life on this earth. And if we just follow that handbook, quit following your emotions. These dumb emotions will get you in trouble, don't they? Quit doing that. I had to quit doing that, and really, it's like you die because you're no longer in control. But if you just die to your emotions and just, you know, talk to God and just you and God, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead God and direct you. Pay attention to your feelings. Pay attention to what God's saying to you. You know, because sometimes you aren't listening, and so he has to nudge you in other ways. So if anyone in here this morning, why did you turn the heat on? You're cooking me up here. If anyone in here this morning, you know that you're not really following the word the way God wants you to, and you're relying on what man has to say more than what God has to say, God would really like for you to come up, and he's just going to touch your mind. He's going to give you a new mindset. He's going to reverse you, like your mind is under a curse because you're always relying on man and not on God. All right. What did they call Jesus? He's a prophet, did he not? So when God spoke, he was prophesying. So there's nothing wrong with being a prophet. Just be a prophet of God. So the altar's open if you want that anointing for God to just touch your mind and give you a brand new mindset where you'll be more in, you know, want to be in tune to God's voice than in man's voice.